the sanctuary, just to answer some questions and see how you guys are doing with that. So that's at 11:45 here in the sanctuary. We're continuing our series on a call to fellowship. So we are commanded and called to fellowship. For some, that is real easy. Others, that is not so easy. We would agree with what that statement in general, that we're called and commanded to fellowship. We would generally agree with it until we have to do it. We would agree until fellowship makes us mad or isn't fun anymore and isn't as cool or is just plain hard work. When we look at the early church, common verse we see is this one. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer, and this is often pulled out to show what the early church was doing. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, breaking of bread, fellowship. The church is very young at this time, and they're all together, all of them. It's a matter of survival. They needed one another. They wanted to be together in community. Why? For unity and for protection and for support, because of the new faith that they had. For the bond of Christ had brought them together. Well, 2,000 years later, do we really need that? What does that mean today? Do we really want that? Isn't church just a nice social club and something we do together to have treats afterwards? Maybe it's because my parents dragged me here, but I really don't like it. Something had to do on Sunday morning, but I don't need it to survive. No one's trying to kill me. Well, let's really find out about that. We're going to talk about fellowship. What does it mean? What does it mean to fellowship with God first? And then we'll focus on the verse, if we walk in the light, and then fellowship with the Spirit. As we go through each area, we're going to see that it's much, much more than that. Than what we talked about, then it's more than a social club. It is a direct result of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. It's a direct result of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a command, and it reflects what is really going on in here, our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, as we go through this and we talk about sometimes fellowship is easy, it's great to hang out. We love ice cream together, and we love socializing, we love talking and talking and talking, and we can't kick everybody out of this building, and that's really great. And then sometimes it's hard because someone has hurt us. It's difficult. Lord, what is going on there? And Lord, we ask that you would show us something. Maybe there's something you want us to show us even today about this topic. In your name we pray. Amen. Fellowship defined. The Greek word in this is used in this particular verse in Acts 2. And various other verses we'll cite is koinonia, which you might have heard. Some ministries use this term. And it means simply communion or sharing in common, and is most commonly translated as the term fellowship. So communion, isn't that what we do? We think about communion, might think of breaking of bread or in a mass or something. You might see that. And is that what we're talking about? It's a little bit more than that. It means intertwined. It is much more than just hanging out. It is getting to know each other well, maybe more well than we're comfortable with. We'll see later that we are to have fellowship with the Spirit too. All these relationships, but that relationship directly affects our relationship with each other. It also means sharing in common. This is exactly how the early church saw communion with one another, fellowship. So let's read the whole verse that as it appeared there. Everyone, this is Acts 2:43, if you want to follow along. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So what things do we see here? All were inspired through the apostles' witnessing and teaching. All were awestruck with the wonders and signs and miracles they were seeing them through. They believed together. They were sharing all things in common. They shared meals and breaking of bread together, like we're doing. We do. Glad and sincere. They were real with each other. They were praising God together, like what we just did, worship. And God was adding to their number together. We see this very tight community of believers being together. They would definitely get to know one another, both good and bad things about each other. But they seemed to enjoy it. They loved it because they needed each other for support, for belief, and for love. That is a sign in and of itself. Why should these people come together from some dead prophet unless he really was the Son of God risen? That is the living basis for fellowship. You know, Phil, I think last week you asked me, what is fellowship, right? He asked me that, and I explained it to him, and then we built this whole teaching about it. You know, what is fellowship? This is what it is. This is more than just hanging out. It's being a part of something. It's being intertwined in communion, and it's so much more than that. It's how the body of Christ is built. It is a sign in and of itself of God's presence. Is the very reason they came together in the first place, their God and our God too. So speaking of God, how do we fellowship with God first? So you're wondering, well, why don't we talk about each other, right? Well, I would suggest that our fellowship with each other is a direct relationship to our fellowship with God. This relationship with himself is something Jesus spoke about in John 15, 13 through 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus laid his life down for us. Not because, and as we were saying, because he did not and does not know us, but because he does know us and he wants a relationship with us. He calls us friends and proved it by laying down his life for us. He says he will give us the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and that he will live in us. That seems like pretty much very communal, very things coming together. That is close to know our insides and live there. How do I know that he lives there? He says that. Do you not know in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So can this relationship really exist? Is that real? Is it really desired by him with us? Well, the next verse answers that. God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians 1:19, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God doesn't say, hey, everybody, want to come and be religious. That's not what he says. We're called into fellowship, into communion, into friendship with him. Something very, very tight. He become part of his family. We are united with him. We are adopted into this. That faithful God calls us into that, and that is the common bond. Only through that can you really be bonded in this way. Only when we accept his gift and are fellowshipping with him can we fellowship with one another. Okay, now let's get into the meaning of it. We're going to talk about each other if we walk. This is a real favorite verse of mine, and I use it a lot, and I hope I'm not overusing it, but I'm going to use it again. It's a key verse. It's such a key verse because if you get nothing out of it today, I want you to get this. This is 1 John 1:7. This is occasionally we have sung this as a song. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see how they're very, very tied together. It is an if. What I like is that it reminds me of, you know, this is going to date me, but I used to program some. This is from Fortran. 77. Remember the if-then statements? I don't know if they do still use that in C++. But this is like that, right? Okay. Do you all get that?
No.
All right. But the idea is that if this, then that. If you see this happen, computer program, then do that. Okay. Well, if we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Well, anything else is just you being nice to people. You like hanging out. You like being kind of there. And you like the fellowship. And that's very often as people come because of the fellowship that we're enjoying, but because they're not walking in the light, they cannot commune. They just feel the separation. It's not quite there. There's something missing. It's just, then it's relationship, but it's not fellowship. If you are not in communion with God, you will become weary trying to keep up with the facade of being a nice person. That's the case. In short, to have true fellowship with the people, you got to know the King of the people. Let me say it again. If you want to have true fellowship with the people, you've got to know the King. Ever wonder why you might have trouble with Christians or church people in general? And, you know, as we're learning about in TPM, we assume all our pain comes from outside, all those losers making my life difficult. If it is the pastors, those weirdos over there, maybe sometimes those two are the same, those old people, those young people, if only they would change, my life would be so much better. That person I can't seem to get along to. Yeah, I'm talking to you. So we don't even try, because they cause us pain. We go to all the people that are easy to be with, that don't cause us pain, and they cater to our own selfishness, maybe, or the things we already struggle with. If they don't cause us pain, then I don't have to deal with the issues. We are told to be the light of the world. Well, that's very true. But it's a fine line we walk between light and darkness, trying to live a godly life and also pull others from the pit of despair, and sometimes we get pulled into it. And that affects our fellowship. We are to be in it, but not part of it anymore. There are these two polarizing forces that are going. One is of God and the other is not. We walk this fine line. Again, I like this is one of my favorite songs. It's by Wayne Watson. He says, there's a fine line. It's called The Fine Line. This is old, too. Sorry. Yeah, there's a fine line between contentment and greed, between the things that I want and the things that I need, between enough is enough and where desires feed. It's a fine line. How do I live with so much here with the spoil of the blessed and not abandon this boat for the sea of excess to aspire to great things, and yet be filled with humbleness? It is a fine line. And in this one verse, it says, 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. In Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Well, what is that, any of this, Greg? What, you shifted gears on me, I feel like. What does that have to do with fellowship? If we decide to follow ambition or wealth or anything else that is the darkness, we will fill our heart with that instead of Jesus, the light and the walk, which is the light, and instead we'll walk in darkness. And if we walk in darkness, we won't comprehend the light very well. And when someone who is walking with Jesus tries to engage us in fellowship, it will feel weird and hateful. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. We may actually not like it because it makes us feel uncomfortable. I liked what Chris shared last night, so I'm going to use it again myself. It's like having this group of people who are health nuts at work or at school or wherever you might go. And this might be a common scene that you see at work or at school. It's not for me. Currently, I'm assigned to at this natural gas facility. I'll tell you, it looks nothing like that. There's hot sauce and chili flying all over the place. They're always talking about, but this group here might be someone you interface with quite a bit. You know, look at that. That's. At first, I thought that was sushi, but I think it's just rolls of fruit or like little rolls. There's salads everywhere. This is all healthy, very healthy, and so on. So you might have this group, and you go into the kitchen. They're always talking about tofu and fruits and vegetables and exercising, and you're just going, ah, black. You know, give me a great big cheeseburger with extra cheese and jalapenos, right? And those, you know, now they're putting those little onion strings on there. Oh, that is really good. That's like fried death, you know? It's wonderful. And it's infused in the top. So remember 2 weeks ago, Chris talked about this healthy food versus junk food, right? We can do this in our fellowship too. You know, if we eat too much junk food, we'll feel sick. If we eat healthy food, we'll feel well. If we don't care about health or healthy food, we will have little to do with those who care about it. Those friends or coworkers you will likely distance yourselves from, or it will look like this, you know, just uncomfortable. I think that's an apple. I don't know what this is, why he's got that. What is that? It's round, though. That's a giant big ball of ketchup. Oh, it's an exercise ball because he's stressed out from his, I guess. Maybe it is ketchup. It's squirting out the side and it's on there. Yeah, it's just, exactly. He doesn't know what to do. So, anyway, yeah. But are these two people getting along over food? No, it's kind of, in fact, he's challenging. Look at me. I'm eating this and all these, whatever this is, and squeezing a ball. And she's eating a nice apple, and so she's looking at him. It's like, you shouldn't be eating that. So there's this distancing, right, because over the issue. And sometimes when we're doing this with our relationships, this happens. It's like, because those, hey, I want to eat healthy food, and I see you're eating unhealthy food, you know, that's not very good for you. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. Ah, forget it. Yeah, sorry. I'll change the slide soon. But in terms of spirituality, Jesus is the source of all good nutrients. Chris asked I'll turn that off since it's tempting. Jesus is the source of all good nutrients. Chris asked a couple weeks ago, remember his assignment? I don't know if you guys remember this. Maybe it was like walk into the mirror and then you walked away, like we was read this morning. We walked away, and then we forgot whatever Chris said, you know. But this was his assignment. I wrote it down. How much time you have to, all you had to do was figure out how much time would you say you spend drawing near to God? How many did that? Truly, one, two, three, a few, okay? And this is not meant to shame you or anything. I have, since that, I have done that a lot more, particularly as we got involved with TPM. I really tried to, if you do not have that relationship with Christ, you are not participating in a healthy spiritual relationship and have no desire, and you will not be able to spiritually commune and fellowship as well with this church. I had a friend in college who got saved and started following after. He immediately started following after being the best at everything, which was fame and fortune. He didn't want to hang out anymore, come to spiritual meetings or fellowship anymore. In fact, he would react violently when I asked him, invited him. Fellowship became hateful to him. Dean said last week in relation to his call, the call to Jesus, he says, if you do not get Jesus, you will not get anything that follows in this series, including his people. Fellowship is a spiritual discipline. Let me say that again. Fellowship is a spiritual discipline. What? Oh, I don't mind hanging out with everybody. It's kind of cool. You know, we like eating stuff, and we like to eat stuff, and we eat stuff a lot, and we talk and so on. That's kind of cool. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty every week of doing things together, that's when it becomes hard. It requires work. It is spiritual activity that is a lot easier if you practice it within our church or within the church and with other believers you know or in other denominations and or churches. This back on. Sorry about that. There we go. Whoop. So, fellowshipping of the Spirit. This last part. How do we actually fellowship? What's better ways that we can be fellowshipping together? What can we do to be better fellowshippers? By the way, it's not a word. Spell check gave it. Said, that's not a word. Don't do that. It's too bad. See fellowship. Not there yet. See fellowship as part of your spiritual disciplines. Let me say that again. Number one, see fellowship as part of your spiritual disciplines. See fellowship as a spiritual command, which we've kind of covered. Disciplines and command, okay. But do fellowship as if or because your survival depends on it. Your spiritual survival depends on it. Some years ago, we did a series called Be a Fan. And whatever you thought about that, one of the things, the analogies is use a fan. It talks about like at a sports event. So you have your favorite football team or basketball team or hockey team, whatever you want to think about. It says a fan watches from the distance and cheers for Jesus. Go, Jesus. Little J, little WWJD, you know. Yay, go, Jesus. A follower, or as we learned yesterday in Saga, a disciple, picks up their cross daily and is on the playing field, taking up their cross daily and doing what he did, dying to themselves every day to be a disciple for the sake of those in the world. Fans can communicate together over fries and hot dogs and what the team is doing. Players on the field communicate with each other, but their experiences are far different. Far different. A watcher cannot relate as well to the doer as well to another doer. We try. You ever watch a football game? He says, they should have done this. Right? We love being, coaches from the, couch coaches, right? But we're not on the field. If we were on the field, it'd just be, they'd have to remove the pancake from the field. It'd be very sad. If you're only a fan, you will not be able to relate to the players like another player does, because you're not out there. I have counseled with those who have been in war. Who's been in war that's awake? Yeah, that's you. You've been in war. The two most powerful themes I hear, or as I've talked to them, is trauma and loyalty to one another. Great loyalty. Like soldiers in an army on a weary battlefield, our common fight and battle is what binds us in communion, like soldiers on a field, because they are certainly casualties of war. And that common experience binds us together like a band of brothers. Working and fighting together binds you together more than anything else. Sometimes casualties are in the form of people leaving the church or even the faith. Sometimes it's the scars of the battle or depression or hurt. But the church is not a social club. It is not just one of the things we do on the weekend to fill our time and make friends. It is the common goal of reaching the world with the gospel. It is the tragedies that show Christ come through when we're a family and God is at the head of it. We were in our prayer meeting this morning. We prayed for you guys. We prayed for those that were struggling with health issues. We prayed for those that need to hear the gospel in this community. We were together and bound together in it. If I could read, this is a, I'm going to read a GCC devotional that was done in 2016. This is by Kelly Downey. What if we could see, this is what it says. What if we could see spiritual battle wounds? Like you can see a war vet is missing a limb. Would we have a different perspective on the people around us? I think that is a humbling and beautiful thought, because I know that I'm surrounded by men and women who have committed themselves to a spiritual battle of sharing the gospel and loving the church. When someone you are in close relationship with leaves the church in bitterness, their departure leaves a mark. When a ministry doesn't go the way you had hoped, it leaves you limping. When sorrow or pain comes from this world, it can leave holes in your heart. When the enemy attacks unity, there are scars. If we could see these battle wounds, wouldn't it change our perspective? I'd like to think that I'd be less critical and frustrated with people. I hope that I'd be more captivated by the things like faithfulness, endurance, and resolve to love others. I want to love with deep depth of insight that gives a perspective that deepens my respect for people's integrity and softens my critical eye. I want to see beyond flesh and blood and to see the soul and to love deeply. I want to value things like loyalty more than I am frustrated by the difference in preference. I want to see people the way God sees them, with the depth of insight. It is when the things are tough that we can really show Christ within us. It is during these times that give us true appreciation for one another and true communal fellowship occurs. In Philippians 2:1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolational love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with the humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So what's the elements here? Consolation of love, affection and compassion and joy, being of the same mind, love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Selfless, humility, self-sacrifice. Those things cannot be self-generated. They occur as a direct outcome of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ living inside us. And that is what people are desperately looking for. And I feel it is a strength of this church, which is our fellowship and strong relationships. That was a strength of the early church as well, I believe. And they were sharing things in common, doing everything together in love because of Christ. Look at Paul's attitude in this. And there are two separate verses here. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is directed at the Corinthians, right? In Philemon, he says, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ's sake. And the reason I'm sharing those verses, just look at his heart towards his people. You know, and sometimes he's in jail when he's saying, I love you guys. I'm so excited that you're growing. I love what you're doing. In fact, I have an opportunity for you to practice this. And he's going, oh, no, Greg's giving us an assignment. Yes, I am. That's my job. In fact, here's what you're going to do. The assignment is four parts. It's four parts, but it's kind of drawing a box for you. And you get to do it today. Okay, you don't have to do it right now, but I'm assigning it to you. Here we go. You have to go up to someone, say, I greet you with all the love of Christ. Oh, wow, okay. Well, if everyone else does it, I'll do it. And you have to look them in the eye. All right, not too hard. And then I can walk away and have cookies. Ha-ha, but wait. Talk to someone you don't often or never have talked to before. Today. If you both don't know each other, you get a point, which will likely happen. But talk to someone you've never talked to, and you have to say, I greet you with all the love of Christ. That's two things. That's not too bad. Later I'm going to give you something to talk about. Too. So I'm like giving you everything. You may not go hide. That's junk food, right? That's more than burgers. That's like nachos with cheese, too much cheese, and then lots of bad other stuff on it. And that Red Ball, whatever it was, on top. Don't go hide. Be with the body of Christ. And by hide, I mean don't go to your phone and sit behind your phone or whatever, or go to a different room. Stay together. Next time that Mike makes us do the greeting with each other that everyone loves, right, you must leave your immediate family and go with someone you're not comfortable with. Yes. Because what is that? What is that, Kim? That's junk food to stay. That's junk food. So what do I talk about? I don't know what to talk about. After I say, I agree with all the love of Christ, what do we talk about? Well, here's a couple things that Paul suggests. Encourage one another. Hey, you know, did you know that Jesus loves you? Did you know, hey, I wanted to share this verse with you. I want to share something that happened to me that the Lord did in my life. Or here's where I'm going through. Don't neglect to meet other, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, I have met other Christians that play the Lone Ranger game. I bless everybody with my spiritual awesomeness through my computer. And I don't meet it or talk to anybody else. That's like driving around, honking at everybody, and expect something to happen. Why do this? To show how you've been transformed and to promote communion and prove it is there. There's another verse that talks about that. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world. How can you show that you're not conformed to this world except through fellowship? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How can you be transformed? By fellowship. By being with others who have been transformed. So that you may prove what the will of God is and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If my faith in Christ makes me like anyone else, like anyone else in this world, just conform to this world around me, then what good is my faith? What good is our meeting? I'm just a nice person. That's what they call Jesus. You know, often they say, well, who is Jesus? He's a nice person. He is not a nice person. I don't want to be just a nice person. Why? So that I be called a disciple of Christ and not conform to this world, and because that affects my fellowship relationship with all of you and those who walk in the light as he is in the light. We walk a fine line between worlds. It is our fellowship with each other that keeps us sane in it all. Let me close with this. This is what we went through. We defined what fellowship was. We taught fellowship with God, how important that is. If we have fellowship with God, then we can have fellowship with one another. And that is so important. That is a discipline and it is a command. And then I gave you an assignment today. You need to do it. And then we'll fellowshipping with the Spirit and how to do that. So if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we then have fellowship with one another because of who Christ is. Let's pray. We'll have the music team come on up. Lord, thank you so much for your presence, how we have fellowship with one another, not because of our abilities as super cool people. It's because of what you did on the cross. We thank you so much for that. We ask that you would bless us in sweet fellowship this afternoon, or this early morning and afternoon, Lord, and that we continue that throughout the week. In your name we pray.